White Rocket Entertainment.
Listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
Okay, what else we got?
We have a question from your favorite person, Reynolds Wolf.
Like an unwanted neighbor that comes over and visits.
From the Weather Channel, Reynolds Wolf.
Thundersnow!
I just love it. It makes me happy.
All right, he's two-part question. Now that the Tigers have finally been dusted with the pixie dust of purpose and direction on offense, such a good way of saying it. How do you define success for the rest of the season? And he says, personally, and I'm sure I'm in the minority, I'd be very happy with 8-5 competitive play against Georgia and Alabama in a decent bowl game.
Yeah, because that's progress. And you know, we've said before that so many of the players on this team that are really key players are freshmen and sophomores. So it really is weird. I don't really understand why, but it's almost like last year was a starting over rebuilding year, and we're getting back up to beginning to learn how to use all the pieces in the box, you know. And so if we make, you know, the old significant progress this year, I feel pretty good about it, given the schedule we had this year.
No, again, we have the toughest schedule in the country by a significant margin. And so I think you have to balance expectation against that. This team is much better than the 2015 team, a lot better. But yeah, the record may not be a lot better.
But we've said that from day one. We've said that.
I do, but people don't get it. People think you can't be better if you have the same record. They just don't think about it. So I agree. I think I'd be very happy with 8-5 in a good bowl game.
Yeah.
I think the defense is really solid. It's something we can depend on. And so we're going to be in every game. Now, we may not win every game, but we're going to, you know, we're going to be in every game and be competitive. The second part of his question says, I'd love to hear your thoughts about Les Miles and his departure from LSU. I'm crushed to see him go, but even sadder to have missed your takes on the matter last week. So when you pontificate on this matter, please save the file carefully and use cassette, 8-track, a typist, pen and paper, quill and parchment, and or stone tablets to document your words.
Yeah, we're using all those, believe me, from this point forward.
Maybe we should have like a court reporter.
Read that last part back to me. You cannot be serious. You cannot be serious.
Kevin McHale is not walking through that door.
Carry on, my wayward son. Well, what did we say about Les? I've always said that I think one of the things I always point out, I may have said this last time, is that this is it's funny. We have the Lost episode. This is like the episode where we talk about what we talked about the week before, the whole episode. But I was pointing out that when they first started, I hated Les and I liked Mark Richt. And within the space of about 2 years after Les was there, because Richt was there a little while earlier, within the space of about 2 years, I hated Mark Richt and loved Les Miles, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. By the way, you were hoping that this would happen. Georgia's not in the top 25, and Miami's in the top 10.
I was hoping it, but I also think it's completely realistic. Like, Miami has an excellent quarterback and a lot of talent, and they just had crappy coaching for a couple years. And Georgia has a true freshman quarterback and a mediocre offensive line and a bunch of young guys on defense. So I think if they played tomorrow, Miami would beat them. And so that doesn't shock me a bit. And I think Richt is going to do really well there. You see, we watched, they're playing Florida State this weekend. That's going to be a tough game. So yeah.
Don't you kind of wish we could go ahead and play Georgia now?
Yes.
They're only going to get better.
Yeah. The quarterback's only going to get better. the offensive line, our defensive line is going to eat them up.
Oh, so. That would be so nice. But so what do you think about Les Miles and kind of him riding off in the sunset, like Reynolds was asking?
I mean, to me, like, there are two things. One is, unless you're winning a championship every year, 10 years is, you know, or more is a long time to be somewhere. And it was kind of that thing where, like, at the end of the Tuberville reign and some other coaches, you've been somewhere a long time. But like Richt, the fans are just never going to be happy, and there's nothing you can do.
Right.
The other part is, I think Les Miles was much – I liked Les Miles because he wasn't our coach. And, yeah. But I know that he drove LSU fans crazy. I know that if Les Miles was the Auburn coach, I would have hated him.
Yeah.
I could – you and I both would have hated him.
That was the line that was funny last week. One of them was, we were pointing out that somebody said that they were talking to an LSU guy, a beat reporter in Baton Rouge. And he says, you know, the LSU faithful, they may, you know, they may respect Les Miles and wish him well and all that and honor what he's his success, but they never want to see the I formation again. They never want to see that formation in LSU football again. Anything else would be fine but the I formation. So
that's it. Yeah. I know, but and it's true. Like he was a character and he was funny and I think he's a pretty smart guy. It was kind of genuine sometimes when a lot of coaches are full of it.
Never forget when they asked him. They asked him, if Wolverine was on your team, what would you say to him? And he said, I'd say, son, just strap up that helmet and go win one for LSU. God, I love him so much.
Well, pop
those aluminum claws out and get ready, boy.
But I think, like, his, you know, the end of game, the clock management stuff, it would have just killed me. Like, it literally would have. I would have lost it. So, you know. All right, next question. Josh Corbett says, first question, since the three-part Texas A&M podcast, so y'all see the Auburn team has improved. Wait. Why has the Auburn team improved to an 8-9 win team? What do you see? And then with Rhett calling the plays versus LSU and Louisiana Monroe, do you think he has improved?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's improved. I think he's figuring out who can do what. And I think, you know, the team as a whole has improved because they're kind of working through that stuff. The other thing I think we talked about last week was, I think with Gus and Rhett and Herb Hand probably in the offensive discussions and changing substitution and all those times, like, I think they had a hard time. They were so much in their own heads about stuff. They had a hard time, like, adapting quickly to what was happening on the field and adjusting to what the opponent was doing. And now I think with really it's just like Rhett's deal. He can clearly see what the other team is doing and quickly adjust. And also, Auburn isn't doing nearly as much substitution, which is really slowing down the offense and messing up the offensive momentum and the way they played. So I think that's made a huge difference. I don't know.
Well, we talked last week too a little bit about how he said he was coaching and he was calling plays angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I never fully understood what he meant by that, but clearly it wasn't working, and I think that what Rhett is doing, again, by eliminating the negative plays, it really comes down to Rhett having some original ideas and approaches where Gus was just kind of stuck in a rut, you know?
I mean, we talked about this last week. I think part of it is there's a book on Gus. When he's calling plays, teams know the pattern, know what to expect, and they knew by personnel and alignment what was coming. You know, Gus would run guys onto the field and people go, okay, this guy's coming. That means he's going to run this way or whatever. And so I think with Rhett calling the plays, there isn't that book on him. So that gives us an advantage. And also I think Gus was so deep in the weeds, like every offensive play, he envisioned every play going for a touchdown in his head when he drew it up. And when it didn't work, it frustrated him and he got angry. And I think he couldn't relax and deal with the team in the bigger picture and focus on being a head coach and stuff. And so I think that's you know, it's still his offense that he created and designed, but just somebody else is driving and not him right now. And I think it's a good thing.
Right. No, I totally agree. I totally agree. Didn't think I would, right? Didn't expect this, but yeah. Any more?
Wynn Carroll says, former top prospect Byron Cowart has been noticeably anonymous thus far. Can that be chalked up to just a lot of stellar depth or blank?
Well, you mentioned to me that you thought he had a few good plays this past week.
He did. He made some plays. I mean, he was in a lot, so he had chances to make plays. And I think there's been other games where I've seen him in the game. You know, he hasn't dominated like we kind of expected him to, but I think he's turning into a solid player. I'm going to look and see like how many tackles or whatever he had this weekend. But I think he's fine. He's not great, but
could he be great, or is he just, you know?
I mean, again, he's a sophomore, and I think he's working through it, and I think he's behind a bunch of very good players. I think part of it is we don't need him so much. I mean, he's only playing about 15 plays a game. So, you know, I think he could, you know, he's got 2 years left at Auburn, and I think he could turn into a really good player still. I think the potential is still there, but we got Carl ahead of him. We got Jeff Holland. We got Marlon Davidson, so – we don't need him so much.
Remember, he came with Muschamp laying out the plan where at the end of next season he'd be going off the NFL with his degree.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably not going to happen.
No, but I mean it's a long way from now. So
it is. That's true. That's fair.
But no, it's a good question because certainly Marlon Davidson has been really, really good, I think.
Yeah, it just shows you that. When these recruiting services make their rankings, everybody's human, and somebody can, you know, it's not that he's a bad player, but maybe Marlon Davidson should have been ranked higher his year than Cowart was his year, you know?
That's fair. I didn't even want to bring this up, but somebody asked a question about it. Did you see Jimbo's Fisher thing today?
Yes. Jeez. Seriously? He's really wanting to relitigate a game his team won 3 years
ago? No. He wants to relitigate a team that his team wasn't involved in.
Well, no, but he's talking about that they played us, that they wouldn't have had to play us if we had lost to Alabama.
Right, so he's pointing out things that happened in the Iron Bowl.
Would he have rather played Alabama in that game? I just wouldn't. I mean, that's what would have happened, right? If Alabama had won the – had won the Iron Bowl in 2013, they'd have played Florida State, right?
Yes.
Is that what he wanted? I mean, because I'm saying he won the game anyway. What is he trying to – is he trying to say, gosh, I wish we played a different team. Maybe we would have lost? It's just stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
It is stupid because, number one, step back a second. That was the Florida State team that's supposed to be the greatest team of all time. You know, that had all these future pros on it, Jameis Winston, and they were supposed to blow us out of the stadium.
Yeah.
It's two things. One is, do not encourage AL.com by clicking on that article, because if you do, it tells them – number one, it rewards them. And number two, it tells them that they should create more content like this. And so if you click on it, you retweet all that kind of stuff, then people are like, well, they should definitely make more of that. The algorithm tells them to do it. And number two is, I'll care about Jimbo Fisher's opinion about officiating Auburn games when he quits being a coach and starts being an official. Until then, I don't give a flying crap about his opinion about officiating at Auburn games.
And I'm going to just go ahead and hypothesize, because I'm having to guess, because
I don't have facts to back this up.
But really, I do, and the facts are that I've read them before. But I'm just going to go ahead and say, if you go to that article and you go down to the comments, I've said before that reading the comments on any article on AL.com is like rubbing broken glass in your eyes. But I'm going to go ahead and say that reading the comments on that particular article has probably about the same aesthetic effect as if you licked the floor of a restroom in a gas station.
That sounds right to me.
There you go. Any other questions on that note?
I think that's a good place to stop.
I think that probably is a good place to stop a lot of things. But we do have a little bit more to go. I'm not going to break us into two shows. Let's just go ahead and go look at MSU a little bit, and then we'll do around the SEC and we'll wrap up. So what do you think about Mississippi State? I know that they struggled against South Alabama and lost, right? But you suggest maybe South Alabama's better than we thought, because didn't they beat somebody else?
They beat San Diego State, speaking of who is ranked.
Wow.
Now, that was in it was a really weird game. It was in Mobile, okay? So San Diego State played a game at Mobile. It's bizarre. And so I think it's weird. They've like won that game and they beat Mississippi State, but I think they've lost their two conference games. So
I'm thinking maybe San Diego State was misinformed and thought they were playing in they were thinking that their entire roster was playing in the Senior Bowl. Hey, that was pretty good. Come on, give them
it. It was pretty good. It was very nice. You know,
they thought that was a pro season game. That's all we had to go there.
So Mississippi State is, you know, they lost at LSU. They lost to South Alabama. They beat a bad South Carolina team.
Yeah, that's no prize.
And they, you know, struggled with and beat UMass at UMass.
Now, again, wait a minute. Mississippi State went to UMass?
In Boston, yes.
So basically what you're saying is that one of the things that Mullen has been using to recruit players to Starkville is say, well, you may be living in Starkville, Mississippi, but you will get to travel to Provo, Utah and Boston. What in the world?
I have no idea why they're scared. You're right. They play road games at UMass and BYU. That's a bizarre. No SEC team should ever play two away games at a conference and in the same season, and that's just bizarre.
So that's when I wish I had Sheriff Justice going, what is the world coming to? I can just do it myself. So basically, Mississippi State has, but they played LSU pretty tough, right? They came back at the end and made it a contest.
Well, LSU was beaten like 20-3 or something in the first half, and then LSU kind of fell asleep at the wheel, and Mississippi State stormed back, and LSU won 23-20. So, I don't know, you know, what that game really tells us. They're not a great team. Obviously, they missed Dak Prescott. They missed a lot of other good players, especially defensive guys on that team we've faced the past couple of years. They have they're not very good on a third down on offense, which is a big problem against this Auburn defense that is excellent at getting people off the field on third down. They're okay at running the ball, but they're not great at it. They play this guy, Nick Fitzgerald, mostly at quarterback, and he's good, but he's not great. You know, it makes some plays. They still have that Fred Ross guy at receiver who's okay. You know, again, they're kind of a weaker version of the team they played the past couple years. And the quarterback can run and throw. He's a threat in that way, the way Prescott was. But they're missing a lot of leadership and talent off this team from the past couple of years. So I think Auburn could go in there and limit their third down conversions, force them to punt a lot. And, you know, I think Auburn can, his defense could hold them down and we could score enough to win the game. I don't think, Mississippi State's not going to score more than 20 against us. They're just not. So I think we just need to go in there and take care of the ball. You know, we get in the red zone, we need to score a couple touchdowns, we'll be fine.
You know, we talk a lot about Auburn on the roller coaster going up and down. Just bear in mind, this is a Mississippi State team that less than two years ago was number one in the country, and now they've lost to South Alabama. So It's amazing how the fortunes can fluctuate in the West, right? I mean, we say it's a fine line, and it's just a handful of players between those two points. But they've still got a good defense, right? I mean, they're tough, and they're going to give us a fight. What do you think about how Auburn's going to go in there, and what are we going to do to them on offense?
I think offensively we're going to do the same kind of thing we've been doing the past couple of games. We're going to run straight at them, you know, with Kerryon and Petway, assuming Petway's healthy, And I think we're going to throw on first down. We're going to give Sean some good passes he likes on first down early in the game and get him and the receivers some confidence. And we need to try and, you know, jump on them. I think this is a problem Auburn's had in a road game the last couple of years. We kind of get behind. The home crowd is in it. They're all fired up and everything. And I think we need to kind of jump on them with both feet and, try and get a score early. They are pretty good, at run defense. They do a good job at that. They're not as good at pass defense, so I think there's some weaknesses there. But they haven't played anybody like us either. I mean, LSU's, pretty predictable and boring on offense. So I think if we don't go in there and turn the ball over a bunch, and again, last week, no offensive penalties either. So Auburn has done a much better job eliminating the negative plays, like you said, eliminating the turnovers, and eliminating the offensive penalties. Those are the things that were hurting us. That's another part of this coordination thing. I think it makes a lot. We've worked out a lot of that stuff. And I think if we go in there and play that way, then we'll be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll see. I believe it's an 11 o'clock road game, right?
It is noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
That's never a good thing. But maybe it'll hurt them more than it hurts us. But it does
hurt the home crowd, 11 a.m., you're right.
Yeah, man. I'm going to be doing a – what am I going to be doing Saturday? Oh, I'll be at – I'm every time Auburn plays Mississippi State, I'm at one of Maddie's color guard exhibitions or something. So I'll be at that. So I'll probably have it on the phone. Blowing out my data plan again, as I do every fall. Any other thoughts about Mississippi State before we drive on?
How do you feel about Dan Mullen?
I think he's done a fairly remarkable job, given what he's had to work with there. Because nobody's ever done decent there except Jackie Sherrill for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
And Jackie Sherrill was cheating his rear end off. So, no, I think Mullen's done a really good job through there. I think he's a really good coach. But we owe him. We owe that team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's a team that we used to judge our season on. If the only years we would lose to Mississippi State were years when we were going to end up like 5-6. And so having Mississippi State be like competitive with us is just annoying. It defies the order of the nature and the universe. It bothers me. Just bothers me. So, what do you think about Mullen? I mean, you think he's going to go somewhere else or what?
I think he'd like to go somewhere else because I think he realizes, that team he had with Dak and those other guys, that's as good as it's ever going to get there. That was their peak.
It's never going to be better than that. That's like if Auburn had Cam Newton and Nick Fairley and we ended up like 9-3. We'd be like, oh, God.
So, I think he's actively shopped himself around after that, and I think he's going to do it again if he can this year. So,
mm-hmm. All right. Well, let me click the button.
Let's take a trip around the SEC.
Before we go around the SEC, I just got to say, ABC giving the like the Pope's coming to town treatment to Clemson's opening thing. Boring. I was not impressed. My wife knows very little about the traditions of college football, so she knew nothing about Clemson. She didn't even know they barely existed. So we're watching that, and she's like, they're getting on the bus to ride into their stadium? I'm like, they don't do a tiger walk. They do a tiger ride on the bus. It's just weird. I mean, why would they do that? It just was odd. And then
I think where they put their uniforms on is not in the stadium.
Okay. So they
I think they have a locker room in the stadium, but you can't get to the top of the hill from there. Do you know what I'm saying? And the whole thing is they have to run down the hill. So they literally I think they put their uniforms on somewhere else and ride the bus to that place.
And then go down they touch the rock, Frank Howard's rock, and I was not impressed by it. I thought it was interesting that ABC did that. Oh, the other funny thing was, did you see this on Twitter? An ESPN reporter, kind of a minor ESPN reporter, I think, he tweeted out that he was surprised that Clemson rushed the field after beating a lower-ranked team or a or a roughly, you know, Louisville, not, you know, somebody higher. And, oh, my gosh, this is what was funny. You'd think that everybody would message him back and say, well, here's something you might not know, or clearly you don't know. We have a tradition where we always go out to the middle of the field and meet at the Tiger Paw after a game. No, do they do that? Of course not. They called him all kind of names. They told him to go do his research, idiot. They called him horrible names. And I'm watching all this happen, and I'm like, you know, we've reached an era of uncivility where if somebody says something that, you know better or whatever, it's not that they made a mistake. It's not that you can help enlighten them to something they didn't know. It's you have to belittle them and call them every profane name in the book. And that just made me sad. I tweeted to him and I said, you gotta, expect that Clemson fans really love their traditions and they're, getting all fired up about them here, even though they, of course, stole most of them from Auburn. So
I would say, you know what? He's right. They shouldn't storm the field. They're just make-up traditions to justify it.
Yeah.
So
I expected to have to block a bunch of Clemson people, but it didn't work. Nobody tweeted me. I guess they know that they stole their traditions from Auburn, and they didn't feel the need to so just take that as a tacit acknowledgement of my point. The other thing I wanted to mention, when we get into this, it's not going to have quite the weight it did spontaneously last week, but I just made a point that I thought was kind of amusing. And I'll just mention it again here, where somebody last week had played Southern.
Mm-hmm.
I was just saying how it annoys me that the name of the school is Southern because it's like an adjective, and I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm like, Southern what? You know, they'll say, oh, and, Vanderbilt played Southern today. And I'm like, yes, Southern what? Southern Kentucky, Southern Minnesota. It's just Southern. And I suggested that maybe their nickname, instead of like the Tigers or Leopards or whatever they are, their nickname should be the Fighting. So they could be the Southern Fighting. And then it just would absolutely, I'd pull my hair out if that was the truth, but it's funny. So let's see. I thought Florida Vanderbilt was going to be an interesting game. And when I say interesting, I mean close rather than actually interesting, right? And it was.
But it's always that way.
Yeah.
This Vanderbilt coaching staff is kind of understands Florida's offense, and they play good defense against him. Florida doesn't have a quarterback, really. And the last year was 9-7 in Gainesville. This year it was 13-6, and it was absolutely the perfect game if you needed an afternoon nap.
And Vandy just has no offense.
And they did the same thing the Stanford coach did, which I know would drive you crazy. They had the ball at midfield with about 4 minutes left, and they were down by a touchdown or whatever, and they punted. and then got the ball back with like a minute left to try to win the game that way. They should have gone for it, but
yeah, boy. By the way, I Stanford is a team I enjoy watching lose. So you can imagine how much fun I had on Friday, because I really like Washington, and I really like Chris Peterson, and I've enjoyed the two of them together. Somebody made a good point. They said that this is Washington owes everything to what's his name, the former athletic director, Pat Hayden.
Pat Hayden.
Because not only did he not hire Chris Peterson, he hired Sarkisian away from Washington so that Washington could hire Chris Peterson. Pat Hayden should be like the patron saint of Washington Husky football right now.
USC has been like amateur hour in terms of their athletics department. So
absolutely. Tennessee, Georgia. Now, I didn't get to watch most of it, but I had to go pick something up in the car. I forget where I was going. I was in the car, and I dialed it up on TuneIn Radio. And just as I got it up on TuneIn Radio, Georgia was driving down to score to take the lead. So I was texting my wife like, oh, my gosh, Georgia's going to pull this game out. You know, I thought that, because they led most of the way, and Tennessee came back and took the lead, and then Georgia had that miraculous supposedly final drive. And then, of course, when Tennessee scored, I texted her all capital letters, words I can't repeat on the air. So that was pretty amazing, wasn't it? Did you get to see any of that?
Oh, I watched a lot of it, but it was the other part that was great. That was fitting to me was the reason Tennessee was in a position to score was because Georgia got an excessive celebration penalty after they threw their touchdown pass. So then Georgia had to kick off from the 20, and Tennessee got the ball back in great field position. That's why they had time to throw it, because Georgia was stupid and undisciplined.
Yeah, they got it on like the 45 of Georgia, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Something ridiculous. And as you pointed out, and I will definitely chime in on, Tennessee beating Georgia was
my cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
So I'm very pleased that that one came through.
I thought that was going to lose for sure.
But it came through. It paid off. Yes. Texas A&M went out and played their fourth string against South Carolina and eked out a fairly narrow win. I was sweating that one for them a little bit. I'm like, look, you guys can't come into Jordan-Hare and beat us by double digits and then turn around and lose to freaking South Carolina. And they had a Cadillac on the first play. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
First play of the game. I went on the ESPN app and dialed up the score of this game, and it said South Carolina 7, A&M nothing. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I looked at the time elapsed, and it was like 14:51 in the first quarter. And I'm going, okay, how do you do that? You run back the kickoff? But they just did a Cadillac, you know. They did the 80-yard run, so.
And that was it for them, pretty much. Two field goals after that.
That was it. A&M didn't need their great receivers or their great defensive end. So, I like how the solid verbal guys. I don't listen that much, but I listened to them, and they said that Alabama did the crock pot to Kentucky. They slow cooked them to death. You know? That was a close game for a while.
Kentucky's the worst. They're going to fire their coach. So
they are. You think they'll hire Les Miles?
I would, maybe, but I don't know if they will.
Kentucky could do worse.
They should go hire the guy from Western Kentucky, Jeff Brohm, to the Shire. But
yeah, LSU. Now this is one we were waiting to talk about for a minute. LSU. You know, we talked last week about how nobody heard it on the Lost episode about how Orgeron said he was just going to do everything opposite. It's like opposite week. If they practiced for an hour on Tuesday, they would practice for 2 hours. If they practiced on Wednesday, they wouldn't practice on Wednesday. They did everything opposite, and it seemed to work.
It did, and I think he just noted former Auburn coach and Steve Ensminger,
yes,
with the reins of the offense. They set the record for most offensive yards in an SEC game.
That is hilarious. Oh, I think it doesn't say as much about Steve Ensminger as it says what those players are capable of doing with any imagination applied to the offense.
Yes. When you turn them loose and be creative a little bit, then. But also, we've talked about this before, like the players have to believe in the plan and they have to be excited about it. I think Orgeron has the ability to get people excited about stuff. So,
yeah, sometimes too excited.
And Missouri's not terrible. I mean, they're not bad on defense, and they have a young, talented quarterback. I mean, again, they beat Georgia like 2 weeks ago. So, but I think in that stadium, I think everybody was fired up with Miles gone, and they just, you know, let it all hang out. And
I was thinking Georgia came back and beat them, Missouri.
I can't remember. I think maybe they did. Maybe Georgia beat them. But it was like 21-20, something like that.
It was a close game for sure. So Ole Miss didn't leave any mystery about Memphis this time. They took care of business. And Arkansas hammered Alcorn State. So that's about what we expected. This Saturday's not bad, of course. We got Auburn versus we're on the road for the first time all season, right? Auburn. Yeah. Mississippi State.
Stark Vegas.
We don't play our second away game until 2 days before Halloween, which is bizarre. But, yeah, we go to Stark Vegas, Silver Star. But also LSU at Florida. You know, 2 weeks ago this looked like a dud, and now I'm really intrigued. I mean, I would have picked Florida before, and now you got to think LSU's has a chance to do some serious interesting damage there. Wouldn't it be funny if LSU just goes on a tear the rest of the season and they still have that loss to us?
I think it would be funny. This is the battle of the ex-Purdue quarterback, so
can't
get much bigger than that.
Oh, that.
And I say you.
All right. Here we go. Tennessee. Now, I wanted to take LSU this week. as my lock, but I just can't pull the trigger because I know they beat Missouri, but you go to Florida. Florida has little voodoo going on there. LSU not so great on the road sometimes. But Tennessee at Texas A&M. John, Tennessee at Texas A&M.
My cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
I'm going Texas A&M.
Wow. All right.
The Collie Dogs. And here's why. Because Tennessee is a team that can play a great quarter. But I think this A&M team can play a good, solid game. And I think they're talented enough to prevent Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee's got to be emotionally fried at this point. You know, they've never been in this situation before. Their emotional radar has got to be burned out. A&M has just been getting better and better. They rested some guys and still took care of South Carolina. I feel like A&M's going to take care of business. What do you think?
I think you're probably right. I think A&M's clearly the best team Tennessee has played, especially on both lines of scrimmage. They're much better than a lot of the teams that Tennessee's played. And I also think the one thing about Tennessee is they're not going to panic if they get behind because that's where they are every week.
Yeah, that's true.
This is not me describing them. I think they believe they're like this team of destiny now and things are going to happen for them at the end of the game. So that makes them kind of dangerous because they're not going to stop. They're going to keep coming till the end of the game.
Well, if you need a Hail Mary to beat Georgia, this Georgia team, good luck at Texas A&M. But
well, and I think both these teams, the games we started with, LSU, Florida, Tennessee, Texas A&M, are going to show what I believe is still true, and that is the West is still way better than the East.
Yeah, I agree. This is interesting too because it's one of those matchups we don't see a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Yeah, we still haven't seen Auburn, Missouri. We'll see that next year, but it's going to be neat to see Tennessee. And by the way, one last note, Tennessee, dear Lord, the gray, your gray is not one of your colors. It's like if all came out in purple or yellow. It's just, no, it's not. You are an orange and white team. Wear orange and white for the love of all that's holy. Enough with the gray. You look stupid. A Vandy at Kentucky, words cannot express how game. Alabama and Arkansas could be interesting. I think Burt will hang with them.
They beat us. What? Let's go fishing.
I think Burt can hang with Bama for maybe 2.5 quarters before Alabama starts putting the hammer down. What do you think?
The other part that's interesting about this is, you know, Hurts, the Alabama quarterback, did not play well on the road at Ole Miss. He had made some plays at the end of the game, but the first three-fourths of that game, he did not play well at all. So I think it's going to be interesting to see if Arkansas has played Alabama well up there. I think they've kept them pretty close most of the time. So it'd be interesting to see. I think, you know, Arkansas is kind of battle-tested. They played TCU. They play A&M. So I think they're going to be ready for this game. And they play, like you said, they played Alcorn last week. So they basically probably practiced for Alabama for 2 weeks. So I think maybe you're right. I think they got a shot. Not a good shot, but if Alabama comes in and turns the ball over and stuff, I don't know how much Arkansas can score on them, but it's going to be interesting to see.
The more I think about the struggles Arkansas has had this year, though, the more I think maybe I could back that up to a quarter and a half instead of 2.5. But I think it'll be close for a while. Alabama plays everybody close for a while. Even USC, it was close for a while. Georgia, South Carolina is our last stop, and then we're done. How do you see that?
South Carolina is what you expect the Will Muschamp team to be. They're going to play really good defense and score 18 points or so. I think Georgia can probably score a little more than that. But it's at South Carolina, and a lot of times Georgia goes over there, weird stuff happens, and they lose. So it wouldn't shock me a bit if Georgia was kind of hung over from the loss last week, and they came out kind of in a fog and didn't play well, and South Carolina stole it.
And as always, if it comes down to a field goal, Georgia has absolutely no confidence whatsoever. In fact, one of my best buddies in the world of, comics and stuff, sci-fi and all, is a Georgia grad. He's a good guy, but he's a big Georgia Bulldog. And he texted me the other day and says, Georgia fans have started a GoFundMe campaign to recruit a kicker. I'm not sure if that's legal or not, but it is funny.
It is funny, but
oh, man. Well, yeah, I think Georgia should win, but I agree. There's two factors working in South Carolina's favor. One is that South Carolina has always kind of made this a trap game for Georgia historically. And two, yeah, the emotional letdown has got to be just off the charts for Georgia. I can't imagine going from winning on basically a Hail Mary to losing on the two plays later and knowing you screwed it up is just wow. So, well, this one ran about an hour 20, so I could almost break it up into two episodes, or I could just let people pause it and start it back later as if it is a new episode. What do you think?
Either way is fine with me. Whatever's easier for you.
All right. Well, I think we will wrap up here tonight. Hopefully one of our computers recorded this and we haven't just sent another one down the rabbit hole, down the well of souls in Egypt with the Lost Ark, as we were talking about. I guess I'll end this episode on Raiders of the Lost Ark theme. So I guess our time is up, and we thank you for yours. John, War Eagle.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
All right. I think we're good. All right. Night-night.
Hang in there.
Go to bed.